A rocky day on Wall Street as the president downplays the talks with China. Oh yeah, there were some other factors. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 30th day of July. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Oops, the Costco digital membership card. Yeah, we told you about this one. Capital One and lawsuits already. Speaking of banks, how about a savings interest rate 30 times what mainline banks pay? Apple and earnings are in the news. The high cost of housing moves to the heartland. Those stories and more, along with a conversation about the business of the Des Moines Register and newspapers in general. Our guest is Carol Hunter, the executive editor of the Des Moines Register. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and you can reach out to us on Twitter. We are at @IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Michael Libby. Well, Wall Street struggled all day long due to lower earnings reports, the reality of a hard Brexit, the comment by President Trump that downplayed the talks between the U.S. and China. Oh, and yeah, then there's the Fed and the interest rate. Anything else? Well, how about the first two nights of the Democratic debates, this time in my hometown of Detroit? Yeah, there were some things on the minds of the folks on Wall Street. In case you did miss it, President Trump did lash out at China for what he said its unwillingness to buy American agricultural products, and said it continues to rip off the United States just as the two nations resumed negotiations in Shanghai following a three-month breakup. He said, quote, China is doing very badly. Worst year in 27. Was supposed to start buying our agricultural product now. No signs that they are doing so. That's the problem with China. They just don't come through, end quote. Asked by reporters about his tweet this morning, the president said, we're either going to make a great deal or we're not going to make a deal at all. From our, well, sometimes the best intentions department comes this story. Last week, with much fanfare, Costco said they would be launching their new digital membership card. It's all an attempt to entice younger, more tech-savvy shoppers to the discount warehouse. At the time of that report, we wondered out loud about buying gas at Costco. The warehouse retailer said you'll still need the physical card to buy gas. Well, wouldn't that cause some confusion? Yeah, we were right. Despite the much-anticipated shift to a digital card model, it didn't take long for Costco shoppers to point out its flaws, namely that the mobile card doesn't work at the gas pumps and it can't be integrated into Apple Wallet. Hello. The incompatibility of the new digital card at the pump has become yet another limitation plaguing shoppers fueling up at Costco gas stations. For example, Costco stations currently do not accept cash and only take Visa credit cards. No American Express, thank you very much. Additionally, they often have notoriously long lines and aren't always easily accessible depending on the region. Also, adding fuel to the fire is that while iPhone users are able to use Apple Pay in stores, they aren't able to add the digital card to the Apple Wallet. Shucks, right? Well, that didn't take long. Today, Capital One was sued after the bank said a hacker who has since been arrested accessed personal information belonging to about 106 million people in the United States and Canada. The lawsuit seeking class action status was filed in the federal court in Washington, D.C. by a Kevin Sosek, a Stamford, Connecticut resident, who said he's a Capital One credit card customer whose personal information was compromised. It's likely to herald many similar lawsuits over the breach. Yesterday, Capital One said the breach affected about 100 million people in the United States and 6 million in Canada and compromised about 140,000 Social Security numbers and 80,000 bank account numbers. So stay tuned on that one. Speaking of banks, today we learned that Green Dot, that's a branchless bank out of California, is launching the highest-yielding bank account in the industry. The Pasadena Bank, which gained traction with prepaid cards back in the dot-com era, launched a new bank account today with 3% annual interest on savings and 3% cash back on all debit card purchases. The average rate for a savings account nationally, according to Bankrate.com, is a tenth of a percent. That makes the 3% rate on savings accounts the highest of any bank in the country. Green Dot founder, CEO Steve Strait, said despite being 30 times the national average and above the current Fed funds rate, the 3% APY is sustainable and meant to be permanent. While this is new news, Green Dot has been around for a while. Strait started Green Dot back in 1999 with prepaid debit cards geared toward internet users who wanted to shop online. The company went public on the New York Stock Exchange in 2010 and a year later got into the banking business by acquiring Utah-based Bonneville Bank for $15 million. Now, in the years since, it's partnered with Uber, which uses Green Dot checking accounts for its drivers and powers Apple Pay and Intuit's TurboTax. It also has an agreement with Walmart to issue the retailer's prepaid debit card. The stock, though, has had a tough 2019, with shares of Green Dot down by more than 37% year-to-date, while the broader market has rallied. Strait said this announcement is part of his promise of a turnaround to shareholders. Apple is scheduled to release its fiscal third-quarter financial results after the markets close today. The consensus estimates are calling for $2.10 in earnings per share and over $53.3 billion in revenue. In the same period last year, the tech giant said it had $2.34 in earnings per share and $53.2 billion in revenue. Much of the future success for Apple is a return to a better trade relationship with China. If that goes south, look for trouble at Apple. Still, investors are mostly in a buy mood for Apple stock. You would think that record low unemployment and low mortgage rates would be a boom to the housing market. And they should be. Trouble is, there are not enough houses, and that's driving up the cost for home buyers. Entry-level buyers are scrambling to purchase homes that are in short supply, sending those values soaring. Expectations that the Federal Reserve will reduce interest rates this week will do little to change that sober reality. For many, prices have risen much faster than incomes, pushing home ownership out of the reach of a new generation of hopeful buyers. According to CoreLogic, that is all cooling the market, with the 2019 spring season shaping up to be the lowest for sales in 5 years. The Census Department reported last week that the number of new homeowners created in the second quarter was the lowest since 2006, and just a third as many as a year earlier. Meanwhile, black home ownership fell to the lowest level since at least 1970. True, home prices outside of the major metros are much lower than homes on the coasts. However, incomes there are also lower. The scarce supply of starter homes has caused the prices to rise, and that spells trouble for many buyers. So, has the hot weather got you going a little bit? Here's a story that might interest you. Sony is working on something enticing. The consumer electronics giant launched a successful crowdfunding campaign to raise funds for what would be an actual wearable air conditioner that slips on the back of a shirt and promises to keep you cool. Now, we're not making this up. Sony is calling the device the Rion Pocket, and it's touting the ability for the app-controlled device to lower the temperature on your back from 97 degrees Fahrenheit to 73 degrees. The app would be controlled via a Bluetooth, and Sony is reportedly pricing this at a very affordable, well, $117. There are, to be sure, a couple of big downsides. One is the battery life. The device, which Sony plans to launch first in Japan, would have a battery that lasts less than 2 hours. Even worse than that, if you're hoping for relief from the current hot weather, well, the Rion Pocket won't be able to help you out anytime soon. It's not coming until 2020. But still, maybe just in time for global warming. And finally, there is this word out about marketing jobs at Uber. The New York Times is reporting that Uber has slashed 400 marketing positions, or roughly a third of its global marketing department. The job cuts will be drawn from several Uber offices around the world as the ride-hailing company downsizes following a challenging IPO earlier this year, and shareholders are questioning the lack of profitability. Uber employs about 25,000 staff globally, with roughly half stationed here in the United States. That all came from the New York Times, which we talk about in this upcoming conversation with Carol Hunter. She's the executive editor of Gannett's Des Moines Register. We sat down with her as the Des Moines Register is rolling out a new business model of charging for some content on its digital platform. That interview is coming up next.